welcome to Sunday, the best day of the week. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely love Sundays. And hey, I just want to encourage you, make a place in your home or in your car, wherever, where you can listen to some praise music and praise your way through this time. I want to let you know it works. It worked in the Old Testament before they went to battle. They praised the Lord. I want to let us know that through our praise that we can make it through this time and have victory. And I just want to encourage us, another way we're going to fight discouragement through this time is we got to stay in the Word of God, and let's join together in this Bible reading plan. You know what, folks, you can put your phone right by your bedside, and when you first wake up, you can read that one day at a time, all the way Monday through Friday, about relationships. It only takes about 4 or 5 minutes to read through this. Before your feet even hit the floor, you can get the Word of God in you. Also, want to encourage you that our Bible reading plan is online. It is online. It's available to you. And I want to let you know this is a great time to jump in because we're changing gears. This week, we're starting to read the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And we're also beginning to read the book of Psalms. So I want to encourage you, get the Word of God into you. It's our source of truth. It's our source of strength. So we need to really grab into the Word of God, lean into His Word, because that's where we're going to find our strength in these times of uncertainty. We know that God is certain. Amen. So we're so thankful for that. So the question I have I've been receiving quite frequently here this week is, when is Journey Church going to reopen? That's a great question, and I want to let you know we are not going to address that question today because I have a word that I want to share with you. But I want to let you know we're going to address that question this Wednesday during our midweek update. We're going to record, and we're just going to share with you some of our thoughts of when we are going to open up our physical facilities. So if you want to know the answer to that question, when are we going to reopen, I want to encourage you on Wednesday. You could probably go online about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We'll have that posted, and we're going to do our best to really exercise some wisdom into some discernment. So please keep myself in your prayers that we'll do this the right way, in a way that would honor Christ and love our community. So we just want to share that with you this Wednesday on our midweek updates. Okay, thank you so much. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to continue our current collection of talks that we've been calling Joy in Difficult Times. And the foundation of this series is the New Testament book of Philippians. It's a letter written by a guy named Paul. It's a short letter. It's only 4 chapters long, but it's amazing to me that within 4 chapters, Paul is going to use the word joy in one form or another 16 times. So I think he's wanting us to get the hint, catch the clue, and that is that we can have joy whatever season we're in life. So in this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at several different keys of how we can experience joy, not only in difficult times, but in each and everyday life, okay? And so for the sake of time, what we're going to do today is we're kind of going to break away from our MO. Our MO is usually we review the previous weeks. And I want to let you know we're not going to do that today, but you can certainly go on to Facebook where those sermons have been posted. There are also the audio version online. So I just want to encourage you, but we're not going to take the time to go through the 4 weeks of where we've been. So what I want to do today is I want to jump into some fresh, new, and exciting content. If you're ready, let's give it up. Let's believe God for a great, great time today. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what I believe is one of the biggest keys to experiencing joy in our lives. One of the biggest keys, hands down, to experiencing joy in our life. So here it is. If we're going to experience joy in our lives, this is one of the things we're going to have to do, and that is that we're going to have to beware of the dogs, okay? I want to let you know, if you're going to experience joy, you're going to have to beware of the dogs. Oh, by the way, how many people know you don't want to mess with that dog? Ooh, don't even want to get close to that. By the way, if you live next to a neighbor that has a dog like this, I want to give you some fair warning. Beware. I mean, you don't want anything to do with that, okay? I know I don't. So I realize that, and I'm sure you realize that this is not what I'm referring to when I say beware of the dog. So the question is, Mike, what are you talking about then when you say beware of the dogs, when you mention that? Well, to answer that question, what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the scriptures today because that's our foundation. And we're going to begin today by looking and reading from the book of Philippians. Today we're in chapter 3, and right off the bat, we're going to read the first 4 verses. So why don't you, if you have a Bible close by, grab your Bible. If not, I'm providing all the verses for you on the screen. But I really think it's also good if you have your Bible to open up, and let's look into the Word of God together today, because it's the Word that has the power to transform our hearts and our lives. So let's look together. Paul writes these words. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, look at, rejoice in the Lord. He says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Verse 3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Then our concluding verse is verse 4. Paul writes, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. What a great portion of scripture. Let's pray. Let's believe that God wants to do something big in your life today and from this day forward. So can we pray together? Let's join together with one heart. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray, God, that you would open our minds to truth. We just pray that our hearts would be good soil that would receive the seed of your word. So when that seed hits the soil of our hearts, that it would produce 40, 60, 100-fold. Father, just thank you for this great day. And God, I just pray that you'd speak to us. Yes, Lord, that you would speak to us today through your word. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So guys, let me do this morning. Let me begin with a question. And that is a really simple question, but I have to ask it. And the question is, how many are interested in living a life filled with joy? How many people want joy to be a part of your everyday life? I'm under the assumption here today that a majority of you are saying absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, I would like to have joy in my life. And for those who have responded by saying yes, I have some really, really, really big and important news for you this morning. And here's the big news that I want you to hear from my heart to your heart. And that is that the ultimate joy, let me say that again, the ultimate joy is not found in things, or is it found in stuff? I want to make that clear. The ultimate joy is not found in things or stuff. It's not found in the size of our homes, the cars that we drive, the size of our bank accounts, or the toys that we own. Joy, the ultimate joy, is not found in things and stuff. But I want to let you know today, the ultimate joy is found in a person, in a person. And by the way, that person is not your spouse. As wonderful as they are, and as long as you've been married, that ultimate joy is not found in your spouse. A single people, it's not even found in your girlfriend, as cute as she may be, or your boyfriend, as big of a stud as he may be. And it's not even found in our children. I don't care if you even have honor students or the athlete of the week. I want to let you know the ultimate joy is not found in those things. It's not even found in the number of friends that you have on your social media platforms. But I want to let you know that joy, the ultimate source of joy, is found in a person. And that person is this. That person is Jesus. And I know that sounds very churchy, and I know it sounds very religious, but I want to assure you this is the truth, that the ultimate source of joy is found in the person, and that person is Jesus. And here's the thing, gang. In order for us to keep Jesus in our life as the ultimate source of joy, I'm going to let you know we're going to have to beware of the dogs. Because I want to let you know, folks, the dogs have been let out. The dogs have been let out. And here's the objective of these dogs. They're out to devour. And they're out to devour our joy. They want to take away the joy in our life, okay? So what do I mean by that? Well, to answer this question, what I want to do is I want to revisit our text. And today we're going to look at verse 2. Verse 2 is kind of our launching verse for today. And I want to look at this verse one more time. Paul writes these words, verse 2. He says, "Watch out for those dogs." And I love, there's several translations that say it this way. They say, "Beware of the dogs." I love that. So just right up in front, this is the way it is. Beware of the dogs. So who are the dogs? Paul tells us the dogs are those people who do evil. He goes on to say those mutilators who say that you must be circumcised to be saved. So when Paul instructs us, guys, to beware of the dogs, he's referring to a group of people that in that day they went by the name of Judaizers. There were a group of people living in this first century named Judaizers. And what they were is they were a group of Jewish Christians, and they were big in practicing legalism. They were legalists, And their belief was that in order to be a Christian, yes, you must trust Jesus, but they didn't stop there. It wasn't enough just to trust Jesus. They said, hey, if you want to be a Christian, there's a whole bunch of other things that you need to do. There's a whole bunch of other rules that are attached, things that you need to follow, traditions. There's a lot of other things you need to do. So for the Judaizers, I want to let you know, salvation for them, which obviously included God's acceptance, his approval, his love, but for the Judaizer, salvation was something that had to be achieved. You had to achieve your salvation rather than it being something that had to, or you receive. So for the Judaizers, Christianity was all about you have to achieve certain things, you have to do certain things, rather than, hey, it's simply a gift that you need to receive, okay? And how many understand that there's a big, big difference, folks, between achieving and receiving? A major difference. There's a big chasm between the two, between achieving and receiving. Let me explain myself. See, when salvation is something that we have to achieve, this means it has to be earned. We got to go out and earn it. And the way that we earn our salvation is through our performance, very performance-based. So for the Judaizer, salvation was something that you had to earn. It was something that you had to perform. You had to be at your best. And the performance in the eyes of the Judaizers included such things as you had to keep all the commandments. You had to keep all the commandments, which was certainly a big job, because what the Judaizers did, my friends, is they took the original Ten Commandments. Remember, Moses went up to Mount Sinai and God engraved the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. Well, what the Judaizers did is they began to have meetings and they began to have Zoom meetings. And what they did is they took and then they expanded the Ten Commandments, and it turned out to be 619 different commandments, 619 additional rules. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you the truth about me. I have a hard time with 10. And if you're going to add another 619, I might say I'm out, okay? But that's the reality of these Judaizers. They took 10 and they turned it into 619. And here's the deal. If that wasn't enough, and guys, I'm speaking directly to you, listen carefully. If that wasn't enough, they taught if you were a male that wanted to become a Christian, then you must be, and here's a scary word, you must be circumcised. And I don't know about you, but count me out. Circumcised, which was taught to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, in Genesis 17. And what it was is it was an outward sign that you had God's approval. So these Judaizers were coming along and saying, yeah, if you want to be a Christian, yes, put your trust in Christ, but there's a whole bunch of other add-ons. There's a whole bunch of other things that you need to do. So let me ask a question. Put yourself in the shoes of these first century Jewish Christians living in the city of Philippi. Put yourself in those shoes. What do you think happened when they heard from the Judaizers that there was this long list of do's and don'ts? What do you think they did? I think what happened is it was at that moment that the joy was sucked right out of their life. The joy was sucked out of their life, and I really believe that, and I think that's why Paul is coming to these early Christians, and he's saying, guys, beware of the dogs. Beware of those people who say that Christianity is not just trusting in Jesus, But Christianity is all these other things added to that you must do. It's based upon your performance. And I don't know about you, but I want to encourage me, you, us, to be careful that we don't fall into that trap today, because it's so easy for us to fall into that trap. I know for me, I've been very, very fortunate. I grew up in a Christian home. I had wonderful Christian parents. And I want to let you know, even as I went away from home, I continue to go to church, live for Jesus. So I've been in a lot of different churches and a lot of different cities. And I want to let you know, it's very possible that there's even some churches that kind of have that little spirit of Judaism on them, or that Judaizer spirit, and that is they try to add a bunch of do's and don'ts. I mean, it's all over, do's and don'ts, things that you got to do or things you shouldn't do or should do, do this, don't do this. And I just want to share a few examples about throughout my years in church of what those do's and don'ts look like. I mean, I've always been told no smoking, which I don't think it's real healthy for you anyway. I think the Surgeon General's declared that. But also on that is no drinking. I remember growing up in churches where no dancing, which really limited me because I'm quite the dancer. But there was no dancing. I remember growing up, no playing cards. No playing cards, because do you know what the jack represents? It's evil. So all those type of things. And I remember all these do's and don'ts. All this, it's all just the spirit of the Judaizer spirit came into the church. And it was about, hey, you can't go to movies. You got to dress a certain way. And there's a certain type of music that you need to listen to. And you can't listen to that type of music. And then they told us, hey, you got to practice infant baptism. And you got to be involved in confirmation. And if you're really a Christian, you vote a certain party. And we won't even go there this morning. That's a dangerous area. Or, hey, don't do this. Don't have a tattoo or a body piercing. And I would suggest certainly a belly button piercing. I mean, can anybody say, ouch? I mean, no way. But it was a bunch of do's and don'ts. And basically, you had to follow through all these things if you were really a Christian. If the church doors were open, you had to be there. Meaning you had to behave and act like the stereotypical Christian. And I want to let you know that's a very dangerous place to be, because I've lived there before, that you have to be perfect in order to be a Christian. So we all put all these rules saying, yes, it's about trusting Jesus, but it's also about all these other things. And folks, here's the deal, and I want you to lean in this morning, and that is if we're not careful, what happens is our performance mentality to achieve can do what? It can suck the joy right out of our lives. When it becomes about all the rules, when it becomes all about the traditions and the regulations, and we're not careful and we live in that camp, it can very easily suck the joy right out of our life. And the reason why is because what we do is we end up putting more focus. We put a greater focus on the rules. We put a greater focus on the tradition than we do on Jesus who came to set us free, on Jesus who came and said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And we need to be careful. We need to be super careful. And not only can this need to achieve steal our joy, but how many people know it also keeps us from the truth that salvation is a gift that we receive. Salvation is a gift that we receive. And Paul talks about this in verse 3. He says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God, we're the ones who are truly circumcised. And here's what he said. Look at underlined part. He says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We rely on what Jesus did for us on the cross. We don't rely on all the things we have to do. We rely on what Jesus did on the cross. Then he concludes by saying, we put no confidence in human effort. He's saying, we don't put confidence in our performance. That's what he's saying there, guys. We don't put confidence for our Christianity in our performance. We put confidence in our Christianity because of the cross and what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us when he died for our sins. So I really, really love what Paul is saying here, you guys. He's making it super duper clear. And I want to make it super duper clear to you this morning and throughout this week. And that is, he's making it clear that salvation is all about us receiving. It's all about us receiving what Christ has already done. We don't have to achieve it. We have to receive it. So if I were just out of the goodness of my heart, if I came to your house today or this week and I said, hey, here's a gift for you, I've already determined I'm going to give you the gift because of who I am, okay? And I want to let you know, this gift is not something you have to achieve. Simply what you need to do is you need to receive this gift. And it's the same with our salvation. It's not something that you have to go out and achieve. It's something you simply need to open up your arms and you need to open up your heart and you need to say, yes, I receive the gift that you have for me, Lord Jesus. It's simply that easy, but we get so distorted and turned around and we need to make sure that we come back on center and keep the main thing the main thing. I was thinking about this week, how can I compare that? I compare it to a healthy home. In a healthy home, a parent's love for their children isn't based upon the performance of the child. In a healthy home, the parent's love for their children isn't based on the performance of the child. No. It is available for the child to receive with no strings attached. And I just want to say this to parents, and I'm a parent, and I'm speaking to other parents, and that is, if your children feel like that they have to perform for your love and your acceptance, what's going to happen sooner or later, you're going to see it on their faces. And sooner or later, you're going to see it ultimately in their behavior. And what's going to happen is your kids are going to go and search for love, and they're going to search for acceptance in other people and other places outside the home. So I just want to encourage you, parents, this is very important that we are people that our love for our kids is something that they can receive, they don't have to achieve. And you know what? It's never too late. It's never too late. If you feel like you need to go make amends with your kids, say, I'm sorry. Hey, lower yourself like we talked about a couple weeks ago. Come down the ladder. Come to your kids and say, I'm sorry. Here's my love. It's free. It's unconditional. And I think that's so important. Make that decision today. Make things right in your home because kids don't want to have to perform for the love of their parents. They just want to receive that love. And I want to encourage you today. So here's back to the question, back to the thought for today, and that is, how do we receive the love of Christ, this free gift? How do we receive this gift that we don't have to achieve, we don't have to perform, but we can receive it? How is that? Well, there's three simple words that I want to introduce to you today that will be very helpful for you receiving this gift. Three simple words. The first word is sorry. Sorry. There comes a time, folks, when we got to just stop and say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I've done wrong, and I'm going to turn from the things that I know are wrong in my life. Really, the biblical word for that is simply repentance. Repentance means I was heading this way. And what I did is I did a 180, and I turned from my sins, and I turned to God. And I said, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and I put my faith and trust in you. But it begins by simply by saying, I'm sorry. Second word is simply this, thank you. Thank you. See, folks, there comes a time where we need to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven and I can be set free. The only way that we can be forgiven is not by our works, not by things that we can do, not by our performance. The only way we can be forgiven is because of what Jesus did on the cross. I love what Pastor Andy Stanley said years ago. He said these words. He said, going to heaven is not for good people. It's not good people who are forgiven or go to heaven. Here we go. It's not good people who go to heaven. It's people who are forgiven who go to heaven. It's not good people. They perform. They do all the right things. It's people who are forgiven. And the only way that we can be forgiven is through the blood of Jesus that covers the penalty of our sins through the cross. And we give Jesus a shout out even today. Then the third word is this word here, please. We simply need to say, please, Jesus, come into my life. Come into the heart, my throne of my heart. Be at the center of my life. Jesus, please be in my everyday. Help me with everything I go through. Be with me on the highs, the lows. Jesus, please come and be in my life. You know, if you've never said these three words, sorry, thank you, and please, I want to encourage you, why don't you do that today? It's very, very important to do that. And if you do that, I want to encourage you to make sure you reach out to somebody and tell them that you made this decision to follow Jesus. Because, folks, this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of something big, something great that God has for you. It's only the starting blocks. Now God wants to continue for you to grow. And you're going to need other people. You're going to have to tell other people that you made this decision. And I just want to encourage you, make that decision. Tell somebody about it even today before you go to bed. Say, I've said yes to Jesus. It's the greatest thing in my life. Well, anyway, as I wrap things up, I'd like to address a big issue in today's culture that fits right into this text. A big, big issue in today's culture that fits into this text. And it's an issue, if I'm honest, it's an issue that a lot of people struggle with. And I'm not just talking about people in the world. I'm talking about even in the church. This is an issue that people struggle with. And here's the issue I'm referring to, and it's the issue of identity. There's a lot of people that just really are struggling with their identity because we're living in a culture where this is the big deal, identity. And identity is simply asking this question, who am I? Who am I? That's a question that people are asking, and it's a great question. And I want to let you know that when it comes to identity, I want to encourage you that just like your salvation, I want to encourage you when it comes to identity, identity is something to be received. It's not something that you have to achieve. And I love that. Your identity is not something that you have to go out and receive or achieve. You don't have to go out and you don't have to be performance driven, but it's something that you simply need to receive. And that's exactly what we see in the remainder of this text. And we're going to close it here in a few minutes. But look at these concluding verse. Paul says this, because there was a day before Paul became a Christian, it was all about achieving his identity. It was all about his accomplishments in the eyes of people and in his own eyes. And look, he gives us a list of his accomplishments. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, and I was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. Let's continue. He says, I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. Then verse 6, he says, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. What is Paul saying in these verses? He said, when it came to my identity, when it came to who was I, he said, what I was, it was all about having to achieve it. It was all about my performance. And if we're not careful, folks, that's true today for many of us as we live that our identity is all about our performance. And I don't know if you can see this morning on the camera, but really this is kind of just a simple, silly illustration. And that is for a lot of us, we go out and we try to accomplish certain things. We try to find our identity in our accomplishments. By our performance. It could be in sports. It could be in the workplace. It can be any place. It could be everywhere. And what we're doing is we're trying to achieve our identity. We're trying to do all the right things. But I love when Paul comes to Christ, that all changes. Look at the radical change that takes place in verse 7. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. He said, I once thought these things were so important, but look what he says, but now. Everybody say that together, but now. Meaning, once I came to Christ, he says, but now I consider them worthless. Later on, he's going to say, I consider them garbage because of what Christ has done. So what Paul is saying is one day my identity was in all my accomplishments, in my performance. And I don't know about you, I fall into that all the time. That I put my identity in the things that I accomplish, in my performance if I'm not careful. And how many people know that can be really draining of your joy? It can suck the joy right out of your life. But I love what Paul's saying. All those things, now, he says this, now they're all worthless. He says, now they're all garbage. He says, that's not where I find my identity now anymore. He goes on to say, hey, now I find my identity in the person of Jesus. And I love that because what it's saying to us, it's simply saying this, that our identity, we don't have to achieve it. All we need to do is receive it, and we receive our identity in the person of Christ. Because if you're living to achieve it, you're going to lose your joy because you can't perform at that level all the time. There's going to be highs, there are going to be lows. But if you receive the identity that is ours in Christ, it's constant, it's consistent, it's always there in the person of Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to your identity, let's not be people that we're going to try to achieve it through performance. Let's be people that we're just going to receive what Jesus has done for us. And I just want to encourage some people today, right now, you're chasing your tail, so to say. You're trying to perform, thinking God will love me more, God will accept me more, God will approve of me at a greater way if I perform. And I want to let you know, no, your identity is found in a person. It's already been taken care of. Simply just lean in and receive it today. It's yours. And I want to let you know, we have everything we need in the person of Jesus. Aren't you thankful today for Jesus? And all God's people said, amen. I heard you out there. Amen. Thanks for being with us. We love you so much. Looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday.